Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raven Real Steel Radio. This is your girl, Raven Real Steel, coming to bring to y'all the 11th night of 31 Days of Harvest. Y'all, a lot of people said I couldn't do it, but I'm here. We's here. It is day 11. If you made it this far, then you are truly conquering all your fears and have a brain. So I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the love and support y'all been giving me on the playback. Thank you so much. Cause I know a lot of y'all go to sleep early, and I know a lot of y'all, you know, go to work and things like that. So hey, it's the fact that you go back and play for me. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't gonna hold y'all. But if you listen to the playback, thank you. But if you're trying to call in, the number is 914-205-5813. That is 914-205-5813. And let me just be clear, y'all. This is not a show where you're going to have to press anything to talk or anything. This is truly for entertainment. So enjoy as it comes. So I'm not going to hold that. Let's go.
For some background, there's this app called Life360 where you can add friends and family on. Essentially, you can all see each other's current and past locations. You can also set up alerts to be notified when someone comes home or leaves, arrives at work, etc. It's really good. I recommend it to everyone. You can never be too safe nowadays. 2 months ago, I was at home waiting for my boyfriend to get home. I got an alert around 6 p.m. letting me know that he has left work. It usually took him 45 minutes to get home. I got up from the sofa and headed upstairs to run myself a bath. My bath was ready in about 10 minutes. I was doing other bits of things while I was waiting for it to cool when I heard a thud downstairs, and through the closed bathroom door I assumed it was the front door. I shouted out something along the lines of, "I'm taking a bath." I heard him walking along our very creaky floorboards and assumed that he was in the kitchen grabbing some dinner. About 5 minutes later, when I picked up my phone to put on some music and realized I never got an alert on my phone from Life360 saying that my boyfriend had arrived home. I went into the app to make sure I didn't mess up the settings by accident, and I kid you not, my blood ran cold when I saw that my boyfriend had stopped at a petrol station and was still about a half hour away. I could still hear the floorboards creaking downstairs, very lightly, as if someone was trying to tiptoe, but were unable to. I had no idea what to do. I called my boyfriend, he didn't answer, and when I didn't hear his phone ring from downstairs, I freaked out even more. I have horrible anxiety and could feel an attack coming on. I left the bathroom and walked into the bedroom as quietly as possible. I shoved my desk chair under the knob as it didn't have a lock. I don't know why, but I didn't think to call the police then. I was so focused on getting out that all my other thoughts and senses just disappeared. I say this lightly now, but this was not the case at the moment. I proceeded to basically Mission Impossible it out of my bedroom. We had a shed underneath the window, large enough for me to safely get on top of it and then jump off from there into the garden. The only issue was that I had to make my way down the garden alley, where I would have to walk past our large window and door. He would be able to see me very clearly. I was so scared, I kept taking peeks into the window, and I couldn't see anyone. I felt more confident to run past and took one last peek. And there he was, looking right at me, not even a foot away from the window. I can't even begin to explain the sheer fear and horror I felt looking him right in the eyes. He had such a cold expression, totally emotionless. I ran, didn't look back. I was so fucking terrified. I remember nearly tripping in my slippers and having to shake them off so I could run faster. There was a long road between us and our neighbors, where I was running to. I did make it. Their lights were on and I started pounding on their window. I was let in and they called the police for me, as I was inconsolable at that point. I kept telling them to please call my boyfriend, as he was driving home too. When the police arrived, they found that no one was there. We didn't have cameras, and neither did my neighbors, so we have no way of telling when or how he entered and left. I later found out that he came through the window. The noise I heard, which I assumed was the door. The window had fell downward and shut loudly, I assume after the man came in. There were also scratches on the top of the chair that I put under my doorknob, signaling that he tried to push it open, but was unable to. There wasn't much of a case. I couldn't ID him. He was also wearing a face mask and beanie, and I don't even know what color hair he has. The only thing I saw was his eyes. He was white, tall, slim, and a man. I only looked at him for a mere second, if that. Nothing was stolen either. We have cameras and a security system now. Never making that mistake ever again. This happened this weekend. Our neighbors were having a late night outside dinner party. My wife had turned off all the lights in our house, and I assumed she had locked the doors, but she hadn't, as I was to find out. She had gone to bed. The house was dark, and I was more or less alone. I was in my office room, and from the living room I heard, "Want some chicken?" It was a small voice, a girl's voice. I heard, "You want some chicken?" two or three more times from the living room. I went into the pitch black living room and heard them again. I decided I was going to stand my ground, defend my home, and meekly ask, "Are you in my house? You want some chicken?" I could see the door is open now, and I'm shitting a brick. Why are you in my house? You want some chicken? You can't be here. Please leave. The screen door closes, but not my front door. I close the door and lock it and tell my wife, who says, that's probably just a neighbor's little girl. Now, I'm pretty sure she's right, but that scared the fuck out of me. In my defense, they had never brought over food for us before, and it was 9:30 p.m. This happened a long time ago when I was 18. I'm 50 now, but still remember it clearly. I was living with a friend in an apartment. My bedroom was way in the back. Little background. My friend and I did a lot of hitchhiking back then. There's a reason I mention this. Back to the story. I was taking a nap one afternoon, and I opened my eyes to see someone in my doorway. It was a guy we hitched a ride with from a bit ago, who we stupidly had drop us off right in front of our apartment. He was just standing there looking at me, and I was the only one home. Some instinct told me not to act scared, so I sat up and greeted him like it was totally normal to see a strange man staring at me from my bedroom door. I quickly got up and got him into the living room of the front of the apartment, acting like it was a nice surprise seeing him, and talking casually the whole time. My pretense at being casual worked, thank God, because he left shortly after. I truly think if I would have acted frightened and lost my shit, it would have been the catalyst he needed to do whatever he might have been thinking of doing. Predators love fear. I don't want to think about what he might have done if I had gave in and got visibly frightened. I just know I was extremely relieved when he left without hurting me. He was planning something because he snuck in my pad and apparently was just watching me sleep when I woke up and saw him. Was he just going to keep watching? Somehow I doubt it. I thought twice about being dropped off at my place again. I should have stopped hitchhiking too, but we were young and stupid. Those stories are for another time. This is the first time I've ever written it down. Curious what anyone thinks, if my reaction might have saved me, because I really believed it did. Like I said, predators love fear, and I did my best to hide it. It worked. God was definitely protecting me, because I don't know if I would have thought that quickly otherwise. That was still a scary experience, though. I was shaking inside when he finally left. This kind of messed up thing always happens in the worst situations. I get nervous, act stupidly, and the world blesses me with mercy. This time around, I was at home, pretty unusual for me. The last days I had been sick and stayed home from school. That Friday I was fully recovered, but decided to skip class anyways because it was the end of the week and it just wasn't worth the trip. Little background. Both of my parents were out. My father had late shifts and my mother was taking care of an elder, so she had to sleep at her house. We have wooden slabs that close on the windows and doors for heavy weather that are also closed at night to avoid people from looking inside through the curtains that were very transparent, especially at night when the only light source was inside the house. My parents used to open them when they were at home during the day to make the environment naturally illuminated, but I spent the day in my room like a goblin, so I never did. The only one I opened was the one that my parents left open for getting out of the house, and this is an important detail. I was starting to notice a gray car parked across the road on certain times of the day. They simply parked, stayed a while, and drove off. I figured that it must be some of the neighbor's visitors, since they didn't have a place for more cars, so sometimes their friends would park at the bus stop. One day, I was cutting myself some tomatoes for a sandwich, when I heard a loud bang on the glass door. I quickly turned around to where the sounds were coming from, and spotted a man who was throwing himself against the door with his whole body weight. I'll tell you, this door isn't made to hold any kind of trauma. It was a full pane of glass, as fragile as it may sound. It's been broken by mistake during parties, and I was totally sure, looking at the shaky nails, that it wouldn't have lasted after two bangs. My mind at this point dropped to caveman level. I decided to open the door with a fucking table knife in my hand. a rounded table knife. The man fell before my feet and I collected myself with the most efficient expression I could give. I didn't say a word. I just stared at him as he quickly got up and backed off. He then proceeded to make up the messiest explanation I've ever heard. He said something like, "Oh, I didn't know you were home," and then asked me if my parents were home, because he has a service for sharpening knives. That is the thing here. People go around the street and stop at the houses for various services. He then looked quickly at my hand and responded himself that we didn't need anything sharpened and that he had made a mistake. I then saw a woman coming around the corner, about to come into the house before noticing me. The man turned around and shook his head with his eyes wide open. She backed off and then they ran out to a car, which unfortunately, I didn't get the plates. I then closed the wooden slabs, shut the door, and proceeded eating my unfinished sandwich with my shaky hands. This just happened about a half hour ago, and I'm still reeling from it. It's 1:30 in the morning, and I just got home from hanging out with one of my cousins. I'm in the Midwest, so we've been getting slammed all night by runoff of the hurricane weather down south. So I was driving, coming up to my house in a downpour, and winds were almost knocking me over. I'm on my porch waiting for my brother to come unlock the door, when I look behind me and see a guy walking towards me. Now, we're no strangers to people going past our house. We're at the end of the first side road in a good-sized neighborhood, and to the left of us is a walking trail. Just before that, we have a fire station with a huge parking lot. Across the street from that was a party store and some apartments. So it's not uncommon to see people going past the side of our house, beyond the fence, or down our road at all times of the night. But again, it had been storming bad all night. Who would go out in this? This dude was maybe 500 or 600 feet away from me, straddling the line between the fire station lot and my neighbor's yard. He's limping a little, and I could sort of make out his silhouette. He's bulky, with a hat on. Those fuzzy lumberjack hats, like the one that Cousin Eddie wears on Christmas vacation. The longer I wait, the closer he gets. It felt like a good 5 minutes before my brother finally opens the door. I slide in and spend 20 seconds trying to fiddle the deadbolt in place. I sneak over to the far edge of the living room, to the window that looks outside, and he's heading towards my house. We have a dresser in our yard that my mom is fixing up, and this guy is right behind it, walking up our walkway. At this point, I start freaking out. I can see him a little better now with a porch light on. He had a jacket over maybe a sweatshirt, and that furry hat, and for some reason a face mask, just a regular disposable one. This dude is walking in a beeline straight for my porch. I'm on autopilot now. I rush into the kitchen and shut off the lights. With it on, you can see the shadow straight onto the living room window, and I wanted the element of surprise on this dude. With that, I headed back to the window and quietly looked outside again. The dude is gone. I glanced on my porch, into the yard, down the road. No sign of him anywhere. I didn't hear him coming off my porch, which he usually can. It's all the dead leaves on the side of the house, and I didn't hear any crunching there. So at the end of writing this, it's been about 45 minutes. Both ways into our house are locked and deadbolted. My windows are a good 7 to 8 feet above the ground, so it would take some effort getting through them, and I haven't heard anything. Best case scenario, this dude was just trying to stay dry for a second before walking back out. Hopefully I'm spooked for nothing, and it would be quiet for the rest of the night. But man, I still got goosebumps. Years ago, when me and my brother were kids, we lived with our parents in a suburb in a small town. Here we were surrounded by houses on one side and a large open mountain range on the other. One Halloween night, I'm guessing somewhere between 2004 and 2006, my mother had put us to bed and my dad was working away sailing ships at the time. So she was alone watching TV in the living room downstairs. She noticed something out of the corner of her eye and felt the sudden sensation of being watched. In the window next to her, she could see someone in a Halloween mask looking straight towards her. At first, she freaked out, but then she brushed it off as someone being funny. After all, it was Halloween. But as some time went by and this person still hadn't moved, she decided enough was enough and she drew her blinds. Sometime later, she decided to go to bed and went to double check if the doors were locked. Through a small one-way glass in the door, she saw the person still standing there, face up close to the same window, despite not being able to see anything through it. This freaked her out. She opened and closed the door with a loud bang. The window he stood in was roughly 10 meters away from our main entrance door, so she wasn't in any harm's way. Luckily, that seemed to scare him off, and he was never seen again. I'm super creeped out right now. I'm a 27-year-old female. Last night I was home, completely alone and sleeping in my bed. In the middle of the night, I was woken up by the sound of someone trying to push up my locked bedroom window. I couldn't see my window because it was past my footboard on the other side of my bedroom, and I was laying down. But I knew that unmistakable sound of the window being locked and the jiggling sound it makes, because I've locked myself out plenty of times and I've tried to get through that window before. I sat up to get a look, and I saw a dark silhouette of a person standing looking through my window. I laid back down for a second, really confused and tired. When it actually clicked what I had seen, I sat right back up. They were gone. I tried to get back to sleep, but was spooked for the rest of the night. In the morning, I thought I might have dreamt it, and I called everyone I knew that it could have been, and no one knew anything. No one was at my house. Nobody I knew was trying to get into my house in the middle of the night through my bedroom window, especially when I don't think the person even knocked on the front door before trying to open the window. I went outside to investigate to see if I was just crazy. I looked out the window and saw a handprint of whoever was trying to slide up the glass. Also, it had recently rained, so I could see the muddy shoe prints going to and from my window. I have no idea who they were or what they wanted, but I am so glad that window was locked. I'm not entirely sure this qualifies as creepy, so much as it was straight up scary. I live in a rural area. It was late fall 2007. There's only a few houses within a mile of where I live. One night, I was laying in bed asleep, and I woke up to what I thought was a girl screaming for help. It was about 1 a.m. I sat up to listen, to see if I was dreaming. Then I heard it again, much closer this time.
Help me! Somebody, help!
Before I could even get out of bed, some girl was pounding on my door, begging for me to let her in. Not even giving it a second thought, I was racing downstairs to see what was wrong. As soon as I got to the door, I could see her nose was bleeding, and her mouth was cut. My first thought was that she was in a car accident. I found out differently almost immediately. I opened the door to let her in, and two steps behind her was her boyfriend. He was attacking her. She got to the door, and I tried to close it behind her, but he stopped it from closing by putting his hand on it. Now, I can only assume it was adrenaline, but when the door popped open, and he took a step into my house, I put my hands on his chest and pushed him back to the door, at least 4 or 5 steps. With my other hand, I pointed at his face and told him, "If you take one more step in my house, it will be your last." His eyes got big, and he was apologetic. "I'm sorry, sir. I'll leave." We called the cops, and he was arrested. Turned out, they were at the bar and he hit her, so she left him there. He walked all the way to her house, which was a quarter mile away from my house. I just happened to be the first house she came across. I lived in the middle of nowhere, in the country. Closest house was a few miles away. My parents never let me be home alone, but they had to go get groceries from a town 40 minutes away, and I begged not to go. I just wanted to stay home and play with my Barbies. They agreed. I was having the time of my life, and all of a sudden, I hear both dogs barking outside. They would only bark like that when a car would pull up. I am on the second floor of my home. The front door is on the first floor, right by the stairs to the basement. I look out my window and just stare because I have a sinking feeling in my stomach, and I start screaming. I see a man walking up my driveway. I start hyperventilating and crying, wondering how this person got here. My driveway is pretty long, thank God, but covered in trees. He is about 20 feet from the front door, and that thing is never locked, so I bolted downstairs and thankfully got there in time. It was right out of the movies, because as I was at the front door, locking it, I hear pounding on the door. Then I hear the door handle trying to be opened. I book it into the dining room and make sure the screen door is locked. I call my dad on the home phone. He starts swearing, not directed at me.
What the fuck?
I hear the man going through the garage, and I'm freaking the fuck out, and he's trying to open the door. He eventually goes through the yard, and seemed like he was looking for something. My dog is small, but she's barking up a storm. I try to call my closest neighbor, who was a retired cop, but of course, he wasn't home. It felt like 30 minutes, but this guy finally leaves, and my dad and mom finally get home. Turns out, it was our very drunk neighbor. His house was like 7 miles away. He came into my yard looking for my dad, because he had driven his car into a ditch, and we lived on a tire farm. It wasn't uncommon for my dad to help these people. They were drunk all the time, and always looked for rides. Anyways, my dad took his gun and went to their house. He threatened them, and told them to never do shit like that again. If I remember right, they were trying to get into one of our vehicles. Scariest time of my life. Didn't stay home alone for a long time after that. Even thinking back now on it, my heart races. I don't think they would have done anything to me because I respected my dad, who is 6'5 and has anger issues. But at the time, I didn't know. To add, these people ended up making me a dream catcher and a tribal blanket. They had about 10 people living in a 2-bedroom house of theirs, so I didn't recognize the man. Their house ended up getting raided for drugs or something. I'm a 22-year-old female. I live in a brand new apartment complex on the nice side of town. My city is pretty safe in general. This is the first time I've ever lived alone, so even though it's a safe area, I took some precautions, which included installing a Ring video doorbell. I've honestly never needed it in the 6 months I've lived here, as no unexpected visitors have come by, until last night. I was sitting home alone with my dog, working on some homework. It was nearly 8 p.m. and started to get dark. At night, I have my Ring set up to alert me when any person is detected outside my door. I received a notification of motion at my door, but I didn't think much of it. At 8 p.m., people are still walking down the halls, upstairs, etc. About 30 seconds later, I receive several loud knocks on my door, and my Ring is pushed rapidly 3 times. At this point, I'm spooked, and my dog is going nuts. I opened up the app to see 2 men standing outside my door. I debated internally on if I should open the door or not, but then I decided since it wasn't quite dark yet, and my neighbors were home, that it would be safe to do so. I slowly open my door, just enough to put my head out. The man nearest to me says that they're with the wreath committee, and complimented my wreath. He then went on to say that he was with the internet company, and that he and his partner were here to offer me a deal. Now, my apartments have a very strict no-tolerance policy for solicitation of any kind. We are told to immediately report that kind of activity. There are even signs posted all around stating that solicitation is prohibited by law here. I told the man that I was happy with my current service and was not interested in switching. The man who spoke first continued to speak about the great deal that they were offering. I continued to decline. He kept saying that he lived real close to here and that he would be happy to personally set up the service. He even offered to come inside and help me get started immediately. I declined his offer once more, and he reiterated that if I changed my mind to give him a call, because he could be here in 5 minutes to help me out. He handed me a business card, and I tried to end the conversation again. He then tells me that he can't just walk away knowing I could get such a great deal, and I'm saying no to it. At this point, my instincts are telling me something's off. I decided to take a more aggressive approach and asked him if he was aware that my apartments have a strict no solicitation policy. He said he was aware, but that he cleared it with management. My apartment has a very small management team, and I know every single one of them. I asked him who he cleared it with. He said that he cleared it with the guys on the golf cart, Mike and Will, and that Mike was a great guy. Now, I knew it was all a lie. Our management team is only women here, and there's nobody named Mike or Will. In fact, only one man works here, and his name is Joe. I say, thanks, but I'm not interested, and I close the door and lock it loudly. I took a closer look at the business card he handed me. It had a logo and the name that he gave me, but the email was not a company email. It was a Yahoo account. The phone number also didn't appear when I searched it up for the company. I decided to post my encounter in the Residents Only Facebook page. A few other women commented that they had similar interactions tonight, but that they were given different names. The strange thing was, none of the men or couples were approached. It was only women they spoke with. It was only women that they spoke to. They talked to my upstairs neighbor and my neighbor across the hall, both girls, and didn't speak to either of the men who live on the same floor as me. Everyone was given different names, and everyone was offered vastly different deals. Two women were told that they didn't have business cards to hand out. I thought it was worth Googling the guy's name to see if anything popped up. Sure enough, the second result was a report on the offender registry. Turns out, the man I spoke with at my door has 5 felonies and has served several years in jail for various charges. Trafficking a controlled substance, theft by deception, and possession of stolen property. I knew it was him because there was a photo attached to the report. He's currently on parole until November. I'm not sure if I'm overthinking the situation because this is my first time experiencing something like this, but I know it didn't feel right. Maybe I'm just being dramatic or paranoid, but the entire thing feels more than a little bit off. I'm not sure if they were just scammers, if they were stalking places to rob, or worse. I reported this to the property manager who is investigating it today, but I am just a bit uneasy about the whole thing. If they return, I'll be calling the police for sure. As of the time of writing this, nothing else suspicious has happened, and I'm safe at the moment. I'll continue to stay vigilant. Be safe out there, guys. When I was really little, like 5 or 6, my parents left me home alone because they were going to be back in about 5 or 10 minutes. So I thought nothing of it, and I remember them saying don't enter the door unless I heard their voices. So about 7 minutes later, I hear knocking, so I waited for my dad's or mom's voice, but didn't hear either. We had a peephole, so I looked through it, and I kid you not, there was some drunk in a clown costume at my door. I started screaming like I never screamed before. Obviously, the guy ran away as soon as he heard that. My parents came home, and I told them, and the cops got involved, etc. But God, that was horrifying. And I think that's what started my intense fear of clowns. I'm thankful that my parents said not to open the door unless it was them. I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't. This happened years ago when I was a college student. I lived in an old house with 10 other girls. 6 bedrooms, 3 fridges. It was actually a nice place to live. All of my roommates went home after the spring semester, so I was alone for a couple weeks, as I was working instead of going home for the summer. One night, I dragged in after work, and was annoyed to discover the doors unlocked. The landlord had let the carpet cleaners in that day, and I knew that they were coming, but no one locked up. It was well after dark, so I went in and locked the doors and glanced through to make sure I was actually alone. As I settled on my bed with a book, trying to relax and forget the house had been open all day, the doorbell rang. I went to the bottom of the stairs, and I could clearly see through the glass door that no one was there. I returned to my room, and the doorbell rang again. Again, no one was there. While I was standing there staring at the doorbell rang, and rang, and rang. I finally took the batteries out of it that were inside the bell unit, and went back upstairs, now a bit shaken. It was a windy night, and I was hearing rattling, which I tried to ignore. I already knew I may not sleep that night. About 15 minutes later, I hear footsteps on the stairs, a clearly heavy, likely male footstep. I'm alone in the house. The only phone was on the top of the stairs. In order to call for help, I would have to move closer to the stairs. I've heard a fight or flight response before, but I had a reaction I never suspected. I froze. I couldn't move as I heard the footsteps getting closer and closer. My pepper spray was on my desk, mere feet away from me, but I couldn't move. Moments later, a figure dressed in black reached the top of the stairs and turned towards my room. Right before I screamed, I realized it was my boyfriend. He didn't think he would scare me, he just was having fun. Our doorbell was a remote, so he took it and was hiding in the bushes. Then he came through the downstairs room, where the window had been left open in the hot summer, and the screen was easily taken off. That was the last time any of the downstairs windows were left open or unlocked. Pepper spray and a knife made their way close to my bedside. I got him back in a rather immature way. I told his mom what he had done. For the record, that relationship didn't last much longer. When I was 11 years old, I got back from school and we had an exterminator at my house, a man who had came to my home before. I was doing my homework downstairs. He was upstairs and saying, "Psst, psst," to get my attention from the stairwell landing. We had a nanny since my parents worked long hours, but she wasn't around, and I wasn't sure where she was, or if she ran out to run a quick errand or something. I went up the stairs thinking the exterminator needed help finding something or had a question. He brought me into the hall bathroom, touched my stomach on top of my clothes, and told me that it was nice. Then he asked if I had gotten my period before. Thank God I said I had. He asked if anyone was in the house, which I replied my nanny was, and then he told me not to tell anyone that we spoke. Later that afternoon, the nanny saw how distressed I was, coaxed it out of me, and convinced me to tell my mom. We went to a detective, but were informed that this man had fled the country a few days later. A few years later, my mom saw him in our neighborhood, outside another home working for the same company, who said they had fired him after the allegations were made. This happened when I was 12 or 13 years old. A bit of a backstory. My dad was actively having an affair and had just been caught by my mom, who was also finishing her degree and had just lost her dad. The stress was just too much for her and she just snapped, for lack of better terms. She was diagnosed with PTSD at the time and later bipolar disorder. She has been treated with medicine and the occasional inpatient stays at behavioral hospitals ever since. At the time, she made an alias account to use the internet and used the name Lori, which was a twist on her middle name. I'd usually check the mail from my parents and noticed that she would occasionally get mail and packages to her pseudonym and also to her real name. One night, we were all asleep when the doorbell rang. My dad and I both got up at the same time to check, and the doorbell rang again. We went to our front door, my dad looking through the peephole, and I was checking the nearby window. I remember seeing a man in his 30s or 40s, very shaggy and disheveled. His eyes were completely bloodshot, and he was wobbly, Obviously intoxicated, my dad has a booming voice and asked aggressively through the door who this man was. I'll never forget him slurring, It's me, Tom. I'm here for Lori. I just want to talk to Lori. Please get Lori. My dad was fairly oblivious and didn't notice the name or make a connection, so he told the guy to fuck off, and the dude left on his bicycle. And to this day, I don't know if he actually knew my mom, or if he wandered the neighborhood and maybe read the names off the mail in the mailbox, or if my mom met him online and gave out our address. It never happened again, but I remember it being especially creepy because I was young and watching my parents' marriage strained by constant fighting and deception, and my mother's behavior becoming more erratic as her mental health deteriorated. It made every day feel so scary and unpredictable. So this happened to me when I was 11 years old. I was a shy kid, so I didn't usually play outside with the other kids in my small neighborhood. One day, a girl showed up at my house and asked to play with me. I instantly said no due to my shyness. My mom kept insisting on me to play with her, so she let her in. I remember sitting in my living room with my head in my shirt because I didn't want to play with her. Strangely enough, she didn't leave until another good 45 minutes had passed. It was quite strange because now I'm 21. I realized I'd never seen that girl around my neighborhood at all, and I knew those kids around my area pretty well since I lived on a dead-end street. I never saw that girl again. I still think about it to this day, and out of all the kids around there, why did she pick me if she never saw me playing with any other kids? A few weeks ago, my house got hit hard with COVID, so my kids and I were hanging out at home. I had my front door opened because I was waiting on the schoolwork to be dropped off. I see a car pull up in my driveway. It was going very slow, and I went on the porch thinking it was their schoolwork. To my surprise, it was a man. I was expecting a woman, and he started with, "Hey, I have a pretty weird question." I said, "Okay, what's that?" He started telling me that his wife grew up here. I knew it was a lie. My house hasn't been here long enough for that. He continues with, "She wanted me to walk inside the house and look around." I said no. I told him that we actually have COVID at the moment. He kept on insisting. Then he said, "Okay, I lied. She didn't grow up here. She was assaulted in 2010 and wants to come and look around." Again, I told him no. We went back and forth for 3 or 4 minutes. He even offered to pay me. He eventually gave up and got in his car. I locked the door and looked out my window while he sat in his car. A tree was blocking the view for the most part, but I could see someone else in the car. Something about him wasn't right. The vibes he gave me sent chills down my body. He also told me that he'd be back. I have small cameras, and I called the police, but they couldn't locate him. I suffer from anxiety and have 3 small children. Since this happened, I haven't slept well. I'm so worried that he'll show back up during the night. I live in a safe area for the most part, but on a busy road. I don't believe he was telling the truth, and I do believe he'll be back. This happened to me when I was about 7 years old. It was already 8 p.m., and I was on my way home. On my way, there was a big wide tunnel, which was very dimly lit. At the end of the tunnel stood a man in his 50s. He was about 6 feet tall and a bit smelly. His clothes were torn and very dirty. As soon as he saw me, he spoke to me. I can't remember exactly what he said to me, but the typical questions like, "What is your name? How old are you? What are you doing out so late?" and so on. Thinking back, I was not afraid. He seemed friendly to me. I didn't understand how dangerous this situation could be. It was dark and we were both alone. He walked me the rest of the way home and kept asking questions. When we reached my house, my father opened the door for me. The stranger explained that he wanted to accompany me because it was very dangerous for me to be out so late. My father was a bit disturbed and told him to fuck off immediately, otherwise he would call the police. The stranger looked at me, smiled, and left without saying another word. My father locked the door, and I never saw the stranger again. This encounter is not too scary, but I'm glad the stranger had no bad intentions. He had every opportunity to kidnap me, or worse. I was naive, and it could have got me killed. So my family is Italian, and I've spent a lot of my life in Italy. I feel comfortable there, though I've always known it could be a little unsafe for a woman traveling alone. However, I don't really look or seem like a tourist, so I usually feel pretty confident that I won't be targeted. This naive thinking led me to a scary situation. I was living and working in a smaller city while on a gap year, and had made some college-age friends who were also from out of the country. We had been spending most of our evenings going to bars, eating good food, all the fun things you can do as a young person in Italy. One night, one of my friends and I were hitting a bar when a group of men asked to buy us drinks. There were about four or five of them, all seemed to be Italian and a little older than us. Being new to the city, we felt flattered and excited by the attention from some attractive local men. They bought us drinks and we walked with them to the nearest piazza. Most of the guys seemed normal, maybe a little pervy, but nothing to raise alarms. There was one guy though that didn't talk at all. One of the other guys told me that the quiet guy wanted to kiss me and I should go home with him. I laughed it off and refused. Italian men are known for being misogynist and forward, so it wasn't surprising. They kept flirting with us and asked us to go back and smoke something with them, but we declined. 1 a.m. rolls around and my friend and I decide it's time to go back to our apartments. We say goodbye and start heading home. Unfortunately, we lived in a different part of the city, so after a minute or two, we split ways. My friend lived close by, but I lived 30 minutes away, outside of the city walls. We're both kind of drunk and we're small women, so we tell each other to stay safe. I begin my long walk home. After about 15 minutes, I start to feel weird. I get a strange sensation, and I decide to call my long-distance boyfriend just to have someone on the phone. I'm chatting with him, listening to him talk about his day, when I suddenly get a bad feeling. I turn around, and standing behind me, about 30 feet away, is a quiet guy from the bar. He's followed me for almost 20 minutes, walking just behind me after I left. I'm on a long cobblestone road in the middle of the night and there's no one else, just me and him and my boyfriend on the phone. I instantly go into panic mode as this guy starts walking up to me. I tell my boyfriend on the phone that I'm being followed and to stay on the line. The guy gets closer to me and I'm almost frozen in fear. I don't want to run because the long road leads further out of the city into a dark strip of abandoned parkland and a stretch of interstate. This man reaches me and has an awful ugly smile on his face. He's taller than I am, probably late 20s, and is clearly on some sort of drugs. He tells me that I need to come with him and grabs me by my arm. My boyfriend is still on the phone and I narrate everything that's happening. This guy clearly doesn't speak English. He also doesn't speak Italian very well, but is insisting in a thick, strange accent that I come with him. He has me tightly by my arm and pulls me in to give me a disgusting, sweaty kiss. He smells like vomit. I have no idea how I formulated this plan, but I'm proud of what I did next. I told this man that I'm engaged, and that I'm a good American girl, whatever that means, and that I won't go with him, but I'll meet him tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and he can take me on a date. He asked me for my Instagram, and I gave it to him. Panicked, I watched him type my name into his phone. Then he lets go of the grip and turns around. He's happy with the plan we've made. I watch him for a few seconds to make sure he's not going to change his mind and turn back to me. Then I start to run down the road, seriously faster than I ever ran before. I get back to my apartment and lock myself in. I open my Instagram and immediately block this guy's account. My poor boyfriend was so freaked out because there's nothing he could do. So I didn't see this guy again. I was extremely shaken up and ended up moving apartments so I could be within the city walls. When I told my landlord the story to explain why I was moving, she told me about something even more chilling. A year ago, on that exact long road leading out of the city, an American girl was jumped by two men, dragged behind the retaining wall of the interstate, and brutally assaulted. The men were apparently part of a prolific Albanian gang that had a stronghold in the city and were engaged in human trafficking. Remembering the man's strange accent, I am convinced that he was part of that same gang. I don't want to think what could have happened if I had not gotten lucky. I think this man might have just decided I wasn't worth it. That beautiful Italian city I was living in lost its glamour once I experienced that terrifying underbelly. This situation happened about a year ago. It's important to note that I'm also a girl, so this was a very scary and potentially dangerous situation for both of us. One night after work, just after it became dark, my girlfriend stopped at the Walmart neighborhood market down the road, which by the way is next to a big highway interstate. I made a last minute run to the bank. Right as I'm pulling out of the bank, I get a text from her about thinking she's being followed. I asked her for more details and also told her not to leave the store and that I was going to drive up to the front door and either watch her get to her car or get her into mine if she needed. She told me that there were two men that she kept seeing in every single aisle, usually behind her. They were very clearly staring at her each time and watched her very closely. She thought she was just being paranoid, but I told her to trust her gut and let a worker know about the situation. And even call the police because it isn't worth the risk. Before I made it all the way there, she texted me saying she's at checkout. She said that the guys followed her there and went to self-checkout near her, but with no items. They quickly grabbed some gum off the shelf and put it into a Walmart sack, but they stood there taking forever to cash out that item and kept watching her, waiting for her to finish. I told her to check out as slowly as humanly possible. I finally arrived. She had just texted me that she finally took her bag and was exiting the store. However, right as I pulled up, I saw the two guys. They perfectly matched her description of them. They were hiding in a little cutout near the entrance. They were just standing there and kept peeking around the corner at the front door every time someone exited. I knew they were looking for her. I pulled my car forward right in front of them. I literally rolled my window down and just stared into their souls. I did not look away. I wanted to make sure that even though they didn't know I had anything to do with her, that I got a very good look at their faces and was watching them. I texted her and told her not to return to her car. I told her to get straight into mine. Right then, they started walking off. However, they had to have been following her since she arrived at the store because the next thing they did was walk straight to her car. Her car is very unique and stands out. They dropped the bag of gum on the ground on the way to her car. One of them went behind her car and just stayed there. The next one walked over to a white work van with painted windows and no license plate. He spoke to someone that was in the driver's seat. While this was happening, one of the cars next to hers left. They then pulled the van up to the spot. I called her and told her to go straight to my car and don't even look at hers, as they were waiting for her with the van. She came out with groceries and they see her and squat down. We really quickly load up and she gets in my car. The men stood up and walked to the van. I pulled away and tried to go around the van to see the license plate. Of course, there was none. I drove off in a totally different direction from home, and we drove around for a while. I wanted to make sure no one was following us, and also give them time to leave her car alone. I wanted to call the cops, but she was convinced we were just seeing things that weren't there, like taking a coincidence and making it into something. Obviously, looking back, after having talked in depth about both of our experiences, we definitely should have called the cops, and I regret this. I've since seen the van with the same two guys driving back in the neighborhoods behind the Walmart. I was turning onto the street and they were turning off, still no license plate, but their van had more things on the exterior to make it look like a work van, things like a ladder on the roof. I got creeped out and quickly tried to get away just in case they turned around and tried to come for me. So I floored at home. Again, I thought about calling the police, but what am I going to say?
Yeah, there's two men driving away from a neighborhood with a work van. Gotta get them.
They don't even take most things seriously, even when it results in something actually happening. I just truly hope there's a valid explanation for all these actions, and that I just want to come to a conclusion that that was not the case, but I don't know. Maybe they waited at the front because they didn't see their buddy with a van, and thought he was maybe inside the Walmart, and were just looking out for him. Her car was very cool, so maybe they just liked it, and were looking at it. Maybe they just wanted to steal parts off her car. Maybe there's an explanation, but probably not. It doesn't explain them following her, or getting gum in a bag just to drop it in the parking lot. Luckily, I haven't heard about any kidnappings coming out of that Walmart, but who knows, it's not like I've been digging for it. But I do know that I'm extra cautious now, and try not to go out past dark. I also scan the parking lot for the van before I go in, but normally I just do curbside pickup now. My girlfriend does the same thing. I had posted on here a couple times with a few of my creepy encounters. I was having a chat with my mother and my sister about these, and they each had their own stories to tell. For now, I will be telling my sister's creepy story. For safety reasons, I will not be revealing names. To give a few details about my sister, she's not the type you would mess around with. She usually had creepy people walk up to her to flirt or catcall her. She would usually tell them to shove off. She can usually handle herself in these kinds of experiences. But she told me what happened at Walmart years ago that really scared her. It happened when she was 23 years old, living out of state with her boyfriend, now husband. It was her day off from work, and she was running errands alone while her boyfriend was at work. One of her trips was to go to Walmart and pick up some snacks and a gift for her birthday party. She headed for the toy aisle to pick out something for her gift. That's when she noticed a man in the aisle. He was staring at the toys. My sister noticed right away that he didn't have a cart or anything in his hands to look like he was shopping. My sister picked up an item and moved towards the food aisle to get some snacks and extra stuff. She glanced up after picking up something, seeing the man from before, looking at stuff again, yet he wasn't carrying anything. This made my sister very suspicious. She tried an experiment to see if this man was actually following her. She went to the DVD aisle. He was there. She tried the home decor aisle. He was there. Even the woman's underwear section. He was there. This really scared her. Anywhere she tried to avoid him, he would turn up in the same area. My sister had had it with this man, wanting to get away from him. She made her way to the checkout while she picked up her phone to call her boyfriend. She told him that she has been followed by this man and was afraid to go outside to her car just in case the man would follow her there. Her boyfriend told her to tell one of the employees and stay with them. She did what he told her, telling the cashier about what happened. The employees were super nice and had someone look around the store for this man. My sister then said that while she was waiting in the checkout, she saw the man again. He saw her and ran out of the store quickly. One of the employees then walked my sister to her car safely, and thankfully, she never saw anyone outside or anywhere else after that. Knowing my sister, I'm awfully glad that she decided not to confront the man. Otherwise, it could be a totally different story. This happened 2 years ago, but I was horrified and still have a very clear memory of this encounter. My child was almost 2, and we were invited to a retirement party from the school board for my mother-in-law. The party was at my brother-in-law and his wife's house. The party consisted of people snacking and drinking and milling around visiting and talking all over the home. I glance across the room and see my husband holding my son with one arm and looking in another direction, talking to one of his brothers. I see a strange man behind my husband, someone I don't know. He's intently rubbing up and down my son's back, almost in a sexual way. I felt so alarmed by this sight. My husband was completely oblivious to what was happening. I rushed over and grabbed my son and held him while walking in a completely different part of the house. The man followed me. He said, "Hey, put your son down." I said no. He kept repeating, "Put him down, put him down." He knows who his parents are. It's okay to let him wander around and explore the house. He knows how to find you again. I said no. He started becoming louder, like he had been drinking and lost his inhibitions. He kept insisting I put my son down, and I said, "I'll never put him down. Why are you so interested?" Mind you, the kid was awkward and heavy to hold for so long. So I walked across the house with my child and told my husband and one of his brothers that the man was aggressively rubbing my son's back, and I think he is a pedophile and wants to molest him. He keeps pestering me and trying to get me to let him wander around out of my sight. I gave him back to my husband with instructions to not ever put him down and to look out for this creepy guy who wants him so badly. I then go into the kitchen where my brother-in-law's wife was, told her about the situation, and said if this guy doesn't leave my kid alone, I will be making a huge scene, but didn't want to ruin the party. She said, "Go for it. No problem if I did." I asked around about who the creepy guy was, and he was the school principal. Great. Wonder how handsy he has been with the school children. He stayed away after that, but I was prepared to go to war for my baby. When I was 10, I was camping at a campground that my family and I went to for years. One day I was riding my bike around the campground. I did this a lot when we stayed the weekend. I rode around the basketball courts and where the game room was. This was a little ways from where my family and I were staying. I had been out for a while and figured it was time to go back. I saw a guy drive up to me in a silver pickup truck and gave a smile. Maybe that's what made him stop, but I was only trying to be polite. He drove up to me and asked what I'm up to and why I'm alone. I told him I was riding my bike and that I was about to head back to my campsite. He tells me to get in the back of his truck and that he'll take me back to the campsite. I felt a little uneasy about it, but me being a kid, I did what he asked because he was an adult. I put my bike on the back of his truck and sat back there with it. He drove around for a while, and I got a little uneasy because he was going further and further away from where I was staying. I finally told him my great uncle's name and where we were staying in the camp, and he drove in that direction. I didn't even wait for him to stop. I just hopped out when he slowed down. He looked at my great aunt and said, "She was lost and asked for help, so I brought her back." My aunt looked a little confused, but thanked him. I looked at her and said, "He told me to get in his truck," and I listened. She then talked to me and said not to ever go into someone's truck you didn't know. I get that it was kind of my fault, and I could have avoided it. But again, this was the early 2000s, and I was raised to always do what adults ask or told you to do. I'm not sure what this man's intentions were or why we drove around for so long. I'm thankful nothing happened. From when I was born, I lived with my mom and my maternal grandparents. I never met my dad. My granddad passed away when I was around 7, and my mom was severely mentally ill and an alcoholic. My childhood sucked, and then when I was 11, my mom committed suicide, and I got put into care as my grandmother was too old and frail to take care of me full time. It was a shitty time. Only thing I was looking forward to was getting on the train and visiting my grandma on a Saturday. Now, I was 11, and there was no way that I would allow my 11-year-old to get on a train and take an hour journey each way alone. But times were different back then. So back to the story. One Saturday, I had seen my grandmother and was waiting at the same station as I do every week to go home. A man seemed to appear out of nowhere, like he was hiding around the corner, and sat next to me. He kept looking at me, and I was beginning to get a little freaked out. I felt slightly better as I saw there was another person on the opposite side of the tracks waiting for the train. The man suddenly came closer to my face and asked me for my name. I ignored him. I was pretty street smart for my age and knew not to speak to strangers. He then said to me, "I asked what your name was." This time raising his voice more, he put his hand on my leg and I looked over to the man on the opposite side trying to get his attention. But he looked over and noticed what was going on, and looked away. So by now, I knew I was on my own. The man was touching me on my leg, so I stood up and backed off. He said to me that he has some puppies at his house, and he's going to take me to go see them. I said no thank you, as he started walking towards me. He tried to grab me, and I sprinted so fast out of that train station, and I didn't stop running until I got back to my grandmother's house. Now I'm an adult and think back to that day and remember the man sitting opposite and looking away, turning a blind eye, and wonder was he part of it too, or was he just an asshole? I always wonder what would have happened to me if I hadn't managed to run away, or if I did follow the man to his house. This happened several years ago, back when I was still in elementary school. So excuse me if I get a few things wrong. I'm almost 40 years old now. My mom had given me the usual curfew of when the streetlights came on, be home. I was at my friend's house, who lived on the same street as me, but about a block up the road. I had to cross one street to get to their house. Their house was on the same side of the street as mine, except having to cross an intersection. It was getting dark. I knew I had roughly about 5 minutes to make it home. Not a big deal. I've done these walks several times a day, every single day that I was home. On this day, my friend decided to walk me halfway home, which was to this intersection. Sitting there stopped at the stop sign was an aqua green van. That's the color I remember. It was an odd mix between blue and green. Obviously, it's normal for a vehicle to stop at a stop sign. It's even normal for a vehicle to stay stopped for a few moments if they're trying to find their way around the area. What's not normal is for a strange vehicle to wait at the stop sign with no oncoming traffic. What's not normal is for two men to wait for two little girls that they do not know to get close to the van. A van with no back or side windows. Creepy van to start with. What's not normal is for the passenger to stare us down. What's not normal was to see a gun on the driver's lap. Upon spotting the gun, I whispered to my friend that they had a gun and that we needed to turn around and run. I told her that I was going to go on a count of three. That way she had a chance to stay with me. This was winter in Michigan. There was snow and ice, very slippery. Needless to say, when we started running back to her house, she slipped and banged her knee really bad. This was close enough to her house that her cousin could hear me yelling for her to get up and run, which she couldn't do. I had to pick her up and run with her in my arms. Her cousin was playing in the ice with the ice pick when he came towards us to see what the commotion was about. One of the guys saw my cousin coming towards us. They gunned it out of there as fast as they could, so no one could get the license plate. I had to wait at my friend's house until the cops came to escort me home. One would hope that that would be the end of it. Nope. I saw the same damn van following the school bus a few days later, came home and told my mom. She started following our school bus with a shotgun. She had got it because of the attempted kidnapping. Then I started seeing the guys outside the fence that surrounded my playground at school in a wooded area. For some reason that I'll really never know, they really wanted me. They tried to coax me out of the playground into the woods with them. This lasted for about 2 weeks before they finally just left. Years ago, right after I graduated from high school, I did a lot of couch surfing and was staying with my friend Mike for a while. His family lived about 30 miles north of the town I worked in, and his mother usually brought me down to town with her when she went to work in the morning. Mike and I would often stay late in town and hang out with friends, so we would have to bum rides or hitchhike back if we wanted to sleep in the house. So one Friday, he and I stuck around town too long and missed our ride back. We were young, brave, little tough guys, so we didn't think much about hitchhiking back. We hung around the interstate exit with our thumbs out and scored a ride with these really cool and super high Jamaican Rastafarian dudes in an old Volvo. They ran us most of the way up the highway and dropped us off in the town 5 miles from where we were headed. Everything was going well. We were happy we made such great time getting that far. We walked through the town, stopped for a drink, and headed out to the north end to start hitching again. We got picked up pretty quickly by a guy in his 40s, friendly, with Kenny G-like hair. He tells us that he's headed right past the road that we were heading for. We couldn't believe our luck. I jumped in the front, Mike gets in the back. It's a big old boat of a car. As we come up the turn, dude puts his hand on my leg. I'm like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? I push his hand off and tell him we're getting out of there. It's starting to get dark, but I'll walk in the fucking dark. Guy says, it's cool. I'll drive you where you're headed. You don't need to get out of here. And puts his hand back on my leg and keeps driving. I'm like, pull the fuck over now and reach for my pocket knife. Mike, in the back seat, grabs the guy in a headlock, choking the shit out of him. The guy lets go of my leg and starts yanking on Mike's arm, trying to get free. Both hands are off the wheel, and the car is swerving all over the road. We're still going at least 40, and I'm terrified we're going to crash. This big tree comes up in front of us, but the driver must have seen it because he slammed on the brakes at the last second. Mike is still trying to pop this guy's head off. I look at the dashboard and realize he's going slow enough for us to bail out. I yell, jump, shove the door open, and dive out onto the pavement. The driver realizes I'm getting away and hits the gas. The door springs back and almost catches my feet. The back wheel misses me by an inch, and the car is going 50 again. Mike is rolling in the middle of the road, and I realize we both had gotten out of the car. I grabbed him and dragged him off the road into the trees. The car is doing a U-turn in the middle of the road, about 100 yards away, and is coming back towards us. We eat mud and dirt while we hide, as low as we can make ourselves. Both of us are skinned, banged up, and bleeding from the pavement. This psycho drives past real slow, trying to spot us, turns around and comes back again. Every time he gets out of sight, we jump and run through the woods, headed towards Mike's parents' house, still several miles away. Every time we hear the car coming, we drop and hide. The car must have gone up and down those roads dozens of times or more, looking for us. It took us nearly 2 more hours to make it a couple more miles in the woods, in the dark. We finally get to the house, dirty, bloody, and exhausted. Mike's parents go nuts when they see us. Mike's dad is a scary guy. He's huge, about 6'6", and construction worker strong. He's got a beard down to his chest, and his hobby is pounding Budweiser with his friends until they're drunk enough to knock each other out. So naturally, instead of calling the police, he marches down the driveway and makes us stand by the road as bait for this driver to come back while he hides in the woods. We stood there for another 2 hours, but the guy didn't come back, which I have mixed feelings about. Mike's dad probably would have beaten the guy to death if he caught him, which is that guy's problem, but I'm afraid that that guy had a gun or something. After all, he was planning on kidnapping two guys at the same time. Mike's mom made us report it to the police. I never heard if they caught the guy, and that's why I don't hitchhike or pick up hitchhikers anymore. When I was about 13 and my sister was about 12, we were playing outside and jumping on the trampoline. Suddenly, we noticed a strange man standing on our property, watching us. He was on the other side of the yard, near the neighbor's fence. My sister and I ran into the house, and my mom called her neighbor to talk to him. Turns out this guy had a fake gun in his pocket. He claimed to be doing work for another neighbor, but then he left. My mom called the police, and they wanted to talk to him. He lived behind us on the other side of the road. Turns out, he was a registered sex offender and wasn't allowed to own guns. He never came back, at least, and my parents put us into self-defense classes. My dad took me to see his favorite team play for my birthday one year. I remember the line was pretty big, and we had just arrived at the stadium. Some guy approached my dad and told him that he could get me, 8 years old, in a side door for free, and it would just be my dad that needed to wait in line for a ticket for himself. I remember willing my dad to say no inside my head. I could see how off it was, yet my dad stood too considerate for a while. Eventually, he said no, and that he would just get in the normal way. I literally could have been taken away by this man to God knows where. A few things that stood out in my 8-year-old brain was how convincing the guy was trying to be. He kept repeating himself and saying words like free and meet back together once inside. I was super relieved when my dad said no, but I was raging at him for even considering it to be an option. The whole vibe was seedy. I had an off feeling for the rest of that day. My intuition told me that this guy was bad news, and I also learned that my dad is an idiot. So when I was around 2 or 3 years old, my mom and dad, now divorced, were friends with this couple that worked with my dad at his office. They would always ask to babysit me and loved seeing me a lot, and my parents thought nothing of it. One day, they asked to take me to Disney World along with their niece, and my mom had no issue with it. My dad, on the other hand, thought it was weird because they offered to pay for me and everything. He told them no and made up an excuse for me not to go. The couple weren't seen for weeks after that, and the company that my dad and them worked for were having an investigation because that same couple who wanted to take me to Disney committed massive fraud and stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. They disappeared, and my dad has no idea what happened to them since he no longer works there, but he believes fully that they wanted to take me and disappear. He thinks that they couldn't have kids of their own and really wanted one. It still creeps me out that I could have a completely different life and family. Thank God my dad was home, because my mom wanted to let me go. By the way, just for some context, as a baby, I had bright blue eyes and long curly blonde hair. I looked like I could be on Toddlers with Tiaras, straight up. Not to toot my own horn, but I was an extremely gorgeous baby. Maybe that's why they had their eye on me. But who knows? They could have wanted to sell me too, or worse. Long time lurker here, and first time posting. I'm a 24-year-old female. When I was around 7 or 8 years old, I had a best friend that lived right around the block from me. We grew up in a quiet suburban town, where you didn't really hear about crime all that much. My friend, let's call her Brandy, lived at a house on the corner with a pretty large front yard. He had a little garden area with rocks closer to the sidewalk at the end of her yard. We would often sit on the rocks and talk about whatever kids that age talked about. I remember it being dusk on a warm summer night. We were distracted by our conversation, and neither of us initially noticed the same car drive by multiple times. Mind you, her road was a quiet side street, so it would be a bit odd for the same car to be driving around in circles. The reason we noticed it the final time was because they actually pulled over in the street right in front of us. Initially, I remember thinking that they needed directions. Dumb in hindsight, because who would ask kids for directions? It wasn't until we saw both of the car doors swing open that the gravity of the situation began to sink in. Keep in mind, the street was only about 8 to 10 feet from where we were sitting on her yard. Both individuals seemed to be men with their hoods up, and the passenger immediately lunged at us, saying nothing. My friend screamed and ran towards her front door. I, in total shock, was a bit slower to react. I noticed he also held something reflective in his right hand, most likely a knife looking back. He actually almost grabbed me, but I made a run for it just in time and caught up to my friend at the front door. Now here's the creepiest part. For whatever reason, Brandy's family locked the door. She had an older sister that accidentally locked it without realizing that we were playing outside. I vividly remember banging on the door and screaming, with tears streaming down my face, hoping and praying that they would open it up. The men didn't chase us to the door, but they didn't leave yet either. I remember looking over my shoulder and seeing them smirking and standing near their car. It felt like they were waiting to see if we were home alone. A moment later, but it felt like an eternity, my friend's mom swung open the door, and both men jumped into the car and peeled out. There were actually tire marks on the road from how ferociously they whipped around and sped off. Brandy's mom, who also saw the car peel out, was extremely upset and immediately called the police. I remember my mom also being called, and Brandy and I were both questioned at our house by police officers that arrived soon after that. Brandy and I mentioned we had each briefly noticed a car drive by multiple times, but we didn't put two and two together until after things took a turn for the worst. I've never heard anything else about this after that day, but this experience remains burned into my memory. I still get anxious thinking about what could have happened if that front door didn't open when it did. My parents divorced when I was around 8, and my mom moved to another province while I stayed with my dad. I'd fly for visits as an unaccompanied minor up until the age of 12. The unaccompanied minor program essentially buddies you up with a flight attendant, and you will stay with them for the entire trip. When I turned 12, I was on my first solo flight that had a layover. I was always told as a kid about people you can trust and uniforms, etc. An indication of a trustworthy adult. When a man, in what I assumed to be pilot overalls, approached me and struck up a conversation, I thought nothing of it. I let him know that I had a layover and was waiting for my next flight. He told me that he was a helicopter pilot and was between flights as well. He said it was nice talking to me and offered to take me to a coffee place for some donuts while I waited. Stupidly, I accepted the offer and began to follow him. We approached the main doors. My oh shit radar went off and I abruptly stopped and told him I wouldn't come. He was very persistent about me coming and pointed to a truck in the parking lot, saying it was his, which freaked me out even more. He continued on his way, and I think about that interaction a lot, and I'm haunted by the what-ifs. Maybe it was completely innocent. When I was about 6 years old, in kindergarten or first grade, I can't remember which, we lived across the street from my school. I mean right across the street. From our front window, the school property was the majority of what could be seen. I went to the school until my second grade year, when the school was shut down by the district. Most kids were shipped off to whatever school happened to be closest to them, and the abandoned property became a community center of sorts for the town of less than 200 people or so. I won't drop the name of this town, but I'll say it's somewhere in Illinois that the estimated 200-person figure was in 1989, and that there are considerably fewer people now, as most of the population has either moved away or died, and several of the houses have burned down. Today, the town is even more dried up than it was during my kindergarten years. And the last time I visited, it looked as though nature was beginning the process of reclaiming it. I say all of this because it's important that you understand how small this town was. People didn't just randomly show up there. Strangers would be immediately recognized. There was nowhere for them to hide, because the town only really had three streets. All but the end of one of them led out of town, and the lone end of the lone street that didn't offer an escape route led to a dead end with an ancient old cemetery, another escape route, in a manner of speaking. This town had nothing but a post office, a couple of abandoned buildings that I'm fairly certain used to be general stores back in the distant past, and a payphone. Today, the post office is shut down, and the payphone is gone. So keep all of this in mind when I say that a stranger or creep would have been noticed immediately. It's surprising then that I was almost abducted by a stranger in that town from directly in front of the school. Actually, I think I was abducted. That's the weird thing. When I left school that day, the man was standing in front of his vehicle and he greeted me by name. That's what makes this even stranger. The man knew my name. He told me that my mom had sent him to pick me up for some reason or another. Though the memory of what he actually said is a bit hazy, it amounts to, "Your mom isn't at home. She sent me to pick you up and take you to where she is. Get in, and we'll go for a ride." You know, the usual creep thing. And I did. There are certain details I can't remember from this point. Why didn't I just look across the street to see if my mom's car was sitting in the driveway? Maybe I did. Where did I go? I don't know. What happened? I don't know. I have the briefest memories of me sitting in the passenger seat of his vehicle, saying something as we drove out of town. Can't remember what I said. Can't remember what he looked like. Can't remember why my next memory is of us back in my driveway, in the house, across from the school. I don't know if there's something that I've blocked out for the last 33 years. Maybe he took me somewhere and did something to me that creeps through the young trusting little boys, and I've just locked it up inside. I hope not. I hope he was some aspiring kidnapper with a conscience who just couldn't accept the enormity of the heinous sin he was about to commit and took me back home. That nothing bad happened to me. That my lack of memory is due more to the entire sequence of events being so uneventful that my little brain felt no need to keep it in storage. I've often wondered in some ways, like through some form of therapeutic hypnosis they show in movies and TV to unlock these memories, or if that's even a real thing, or if it is, if I want to venture down that rabbit hole and discover what really happened, maybe things should just remain buried. I'm sure you've heard the expression, "Don't ask questions you don't want answers to." Yeah, I feel that applies here. And maybe someone will tell me it was just a vivid dream that a young child had remembered incorrectly as an actual memory. This is not the case. A few years back, I actually asked my mom about it. "Do you remember that strange man who took me from school and brought me back?" "Oh, yes." Apparently, I told her what happened because she told me about how she went over to the school and raised a bunch of hell over it. And that's all I have to prove to myself that it ever even happened. Up until then, I wondered if I imagined the whole thing. This is, unfortunately, no longer something that I can even attempt to convince myself is true. Who was that man? Why did he take me? Why did he bring me back? What happened that day? I'm a big fan of horror. I love a novel or movie about monsters. I'm an avid fan of Stephen King and creepypastas. But it isn't Pennywise, the dancing clown, or Slender Man that keeps me up at night sometimes. No, it's the real monster who almost gobbled me up when I was 6 years old and then lost his appetite. Thanks for listening. Update. For those of you asking if it was possibly my dad, I just called him and asked him. His response?
If it had been me, I wouldn't have taken you back. I would have just kept on driving, and you would have gone to my state with me.
That may sound like a joke, but it wasn't. So much for that theory. To give some context, I live in Italy, and usually cities' historical centers have mainly pedestrian zones and a few parking spots for residents. Last week, when my sister and I were walking the dog, we don't put her on a leash at night since she's trained and the streets are empty. Unfortunately, she saw a cat and ran away before my sister got her. My family loves that dog, so of course, we all went searching for her. My parents are divorced and we were staying at my mom's. Bad idea having three women in the streets at night, I know, but we didn't know what else to do. I was in my PJs with my phone running on low batteries, so without a flashlight, and just a few poles illuminating the streets. So it was quite dark. I was shouting my dog's name while we were looking for her, when a 40 to 50 year old man, which I hadn't seen up to that point, said that he saw my dog running a few blocks away from where we were. My dumbass was so worried about the dog that I didn't even ask the guy what my dog looked like. I followed him in silence until we were near a parking spot, and he got really close to me and tried to put his hands around my back. At that point, I realized what was going on. I pushed him and sprinted as fast as I could. I know the place really well, so I hid where I knew he couldn't find me, and texted my mom. I didn't call her in case he was near and could have heard me. A few minutes later, both my mom and my sister arrived together. We decided to call it a night and went home. That dog was waiting for us at the door. I don't know what this guy's intentions were, but I'm glad I reacted quickly and got away. This story isn't mine, it's my parents' story. My mom and dad got married in Mexico, then set off to cross the border. When they were saying farewell to everyone, my mom's grandma gave my mom a prayer, the Canticle of Mary, to keep her safe and to memorize. My great-grandma was a firm believer, and I guess it worked. As you know, people gather in small groups led by a coyote. They got stopped by bandits. I can't elaborate exactly where, because my mom told me once, and I can't bring myself to ask her again, due to the trauma I know she experienced. Tired, hungry, and thirsty, and even more scared than they already were, they all kneeled down on the ground in a row, arms over their head. These bandits proceeded to ransack everyone's money, valuables, and whatever the heck they wanted. Then they even started pulling up girls and women to take. My mom was praying hard. Sadly, the girl next to her got snatched up. My parents ended up making it safe and sound to the States, became U.S. citizens, started a family, and worked hard. In high school, I would routinely run along the country roads near my family's house. One afternoon, a white pickup pulled over on the side of the road, right next to me, basically stopping my run. A young guy said hi, and asked if I needed a ride. I said no, but he insisted, remarking that it was hot, etc. Luckily, I was standing in a driveway and quickly began to walk up towards the house, telling him, "Oh, this is my house anyway. I better get home." He seemed to accept my excuse and drove away. I waited for a while, convinced that he'll come back and check, but he never did. I ran the rest of the way home, faster than I ever had, terrified that he would see me. This happened when I was 14. I attended a private Christian school and had a typical uniform of a white button-down blouse shirt and a knee-length plaid skirt. I walked to my bus stop, which was about 25 feet away from a major intersection, outside of a gas station. This older creepy white dude stops and tried to get me to come close to his car for directions. I stayed about 10 feet or so away from the car and gave him the directions. He kept trying to get me to come closer and offered me a ride to school. He even blocked traffic when the light turned green and made people go around him. He just wouldn't leave or stop, and my radar was going off like crazy. At that point, I backed up this incline and behind a sign thing so he couldn't get close without giving me time to scream and run. At this point, another guy and the gas station employee, who recognized me, were walking towards us, and the guy took off. About 15 or so minutes later, I saw the guy approaching again, so I grabbed the other girl at my stop and told her to run. We both ran into the gas station store, and the employee called the police, which was absolutely useless, and the guy left again. I heard later that night on the news that a girl about my age was kidnapped from her bus stop, and the car was very similar to the one that the guy was driving. I was totally freaked out and was glad that we ran when we did. After that, one of my grandparents would drive me to the bus stop and stay with me until I got picked up. So today, my friends and I were on a walk, and at some point, I witnessed a scene that was likely a child kidnapping attempt. I'm really confused and a bit horrified right now, so I decided to post it here and hear some opinions about it. Here's the premise. I live in St. Petersburg, Russia. My friend and I often go for walks and mostly follow the same route through several building blocks, a settlement with private houses, and eventually a small park. At the edge of those building blocks, just before you enter the settlement located across the highway, we usually visit a store and buy some soda drinks. The place itself is kind of a poor neighborhood, with old shabby buildings and infrastructure. I live near that place, and some of my friends live right there, so I know it pretty well. Now what happened today, we decided to visit the store, and usually we enter together, but this time I had forgot my mask, so I waited for him outside. Soon after, three boys rushed from the store. They were actively talking with each other, and then two of them, first one was about 6 or 7 years old, and the second one was around 5, stepped back into the store, but the third one stayed near the store's doors. Those two kids started calling for the third one to go back in with them, very confident. At this point, I didn't really pay too much attention to them. After the third one declined and started saying that he's not allowed to leave the store, it would turn out that his mom was working as a cashier and wanted him to stay in the store during her work shift. Those kids continued asking him to follow them. Then the first kid said the phrase that gave me chills and made me turn around to them and stare, ready to make an action to prevent the third kid from going with them. He said, "I know the place where your mom will allow you to go." Aside from the weirdness of the phrase, it also sounded very unnatural and learned. Then both of them started saying this again and again. I was about 7 to 10 meters away, and they likely noticed me, so they stopped calling him, and the first kid asked the third kid how old he was. He replied he was 6. Immediately after the answer, the two kids ran away to the building block. Honestly, I was hoping to stop these kids and ask them about their parents and what they were trying to do, and notify the store personnel, but they faded away really fast. Soon enough, my friends came back from the store, and I told him what I just saw. He mentioned that he actually noticed those kids inside trying to make friends with the son of the cashier, and they were basically talking about normal stuff that kids of their age were interested in. It's unclear when they decided to exit the store and go to the place with a third kid. We both were very concerned about the situation, and shortly after I came to the store to warn the personnel about it. I told one of the cashiers everything and mentioned the first kid was holding a sweeps can. She confirmed she saw them, thanked me, and she said she's going to tell this to his mother. I then left the store. Child kidnappings that involve kids of their own age were common in Russia 5 to 8 years ago, and I even remember a case involving a small girl back in Moscow. Luckily, it didn't work for whoever was the kidnapper. The situation really shocked me, and I would like to believe that those were just ordinary kids, which unintentionally used bizarre words, but it just doesn't seem real anyway.
Well, yeah, that's my time. Yes, I'm ending early tonight. Don't really feel exactly up to par. But I just want to say thank y'all for those who called in, who inboxed me on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to follow me on my social media, it is Raven's Real Spill on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow me right here on Blog Talk. Also, if you are a poetry lover, you can follow me on all my social medias on Facebook and Instagram, as well as on Amazon under Raven the Syrian Poet. That's RavenTheSerial POET. Make sure you follow me. If you like my book, make sure you get you a copy or copies. I have quite the catalog. It is continually growing by the month. I just released I revised the book from when I first started writing back in 2013, called When the Seas of Love Changes. It's quite a read. I'm pretty sure anybody that's dealing with love, heartbreak, and everything in between, you could relate to that book. And the one before that was Return of the Ice Queen. That's a little bit more on the dark side. If you went through heartbreak and just numb and cold, whether it's through friendship, relationship, or whatever, it's a relatable book, but as of right now, I'm writing, I want to say what would be considered my last erotica book. In total right now, I have 6. It's going to be my last, because I feel as though 3 is enough. I have deeper things to talk about than erotica, and only so many ways that you can lick, suck, swallow, all this type of stuff. Like, after a while, it does become repetitive. And once your erotica poems start sounding similar to other people's erotica poems, or start having a similar cadence or flow, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to kind of like dive deeper into other parts of yourself. So after I'm finished writing this last erotica book, I said I was going to start like a nursery rhyme book for kids, because I feel as though it's very important for kids to have something that's not only interesting to read, but relatable. And I'm sorry, it's nothing about Jack and Jill and Little Miss Muffet and all these other types of nursery rhymes. Those nursery rhymes are not relatable. You're not going to see, you know, kids in themselves talking to spiders. They're going to kill spiders, you know. You're not going to see them rolling down a hill with a pail of water. Like, what? So, you know, and nothing against Dr. Seuss recipe, but red fish, blue fish, no. So I must be writing something relatable, going back and forth between that and my erotica poems, and pray that they don't collide. That would be a oopsie. But yeah, that's what I'm working on as far as my writing is concerned. But don't worry, I'm still going to be doing shows on here after this month. I'll probably just be doing late night vibes because I have been getting requests about that because people like, you know, I'll be at work and, you know, I just wish that you would do something more all night or overnight or whatever the case may be. And trust and believe when I tell y'all, I have something in the works to where I will be able to play music for y'all probably all night. I'm in negotiations with someone. And he basically told me that I could pretty much use his studio when he's not on it, which, you know, most of the time people do things before 12 or 1 a.m., but I'm a night owl, so I'll be up all night. So I'm working on that for y'all. Well, for those who act for it, because I know clearly I don't care either way. But I will be doing late night vibes with Raven again. And on Monday, I will be bringing back first. The person that I was doing the collab with as far as picking out people to go against each other, you know, she had a little scheduling snafu. And so I had to wait on her. Well, I didn't have to wait on her, but I just find it more exciting when you have somebody that thinks differently than you. So you can pretty much have a nice little flow of things. But at this point, I'm rambling on, so I'm going to get off here. But thank y'all. I love y'all. Again, don't forget to follow me right here on Blog Talk so you'll know when another show is coming up. But tomorrow, show up same time, same place. I will be in the building giving y'all a good night of the 31 days apart. But before I get out of here, I'm going to give y'all my thought of the night. And my thought of the night is this. You did not come into this world in a box. So while you're on this earth, don't allow people to put you in. And just because they do, don't mean you have to stay in there. Bust out, be loud, proud, and live and walk in the truth. With that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you. I love y'all. And goodbye.